You are traveling into another dimension, a time in the future where you must confront the possible social, economic, and political consequences of actions taken or not taken by today's American citizens. With a fireside chat like the ones pioneered by a U.S. president decades ago, you'll hear a future president explain his struggles to productively cope with the many threatening outcomes of our generation's delusions, discord, and dithering. We can only hope that this plausible glimpse into a frightful future will provide some enlightened guidance for the actions we must take today to assure better tomorrows.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Hello, fellow Americans. This is Kurt Van Karma, who, thanks to you, is speaking from the White House as President of the United States of America. As you've already heard, this discussion is taking place in a world of the future, the near future. But because of some clever time warp technology, you can hear it now, while there is still time ahead to change that future. I'll be talking about an issue that should be of great concern to all of us, and I'll be piqued and prodded in this conversation by my muse, Cleo, who has been blessed with state-of-the-art artificial intelligence, thus making her the smartest chat partner one could ever dream of.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate your willingness to put up with me and my candid questions and opinions. I know you have been stewing for some time now about the suffering of America's homeless population. Tell me, in your opinion, how serious is this issue?
Very serious, I'm afraid. The plague of homelessness has spread rapidly, and Americans are becoming increasingly frightened about the consequences that are emerging for both the homeless and the rest of American society. In just the past few years, the number of homeless has increased 30% to over 700,000. Almost one in every 500 Americans is homeless, and over a quarter of a million people will be sleeping on the street tonight. A vast number of these folks are chronically homeless, with no prospect of easing their plight. 50,000 of them are under the age of 25. I'm afraid that our current response of patchwork assistance is not going to resolve or even contain this disastrous state of affairs. Congress agrees, and after a lot of study, the House of Representatives and Senate have come up with a bill which they think will cure the plight of the homeless once and for all. The relief program this bill proposes is called Share a Roof. If this bill is sent to me, I am inclined to sign it into law.
This kind of bill will probably bring about some big changes in many lives. I'm sure everyone will want to know more about this initiative. Will you please explain the nature of this program and why you and our legislators believe it will resolve the issue of homelessness?
This Share a Roof program is designed to engage our home advantaged citizens in assisting Americans who are home disadvantaged. Congress and my administration recruited a distinguished panel of experts to develop a strategy to deal with this crisis, and they came up with a startlingly simple solution. If the cause of the crisis is an absence of homes, let's make homes available. The Share a Roof bill will provide both housing and a family environment that sustains, animates, and enriches those who dwell there. Two-thirds of the homeless are individuals who need not only the shelter of a house, but also a connection with a family. Most of the homeless have emotional, psychological, addiction issues, which could be greatly eased if they became part of a loving family unit. One-third of homeless persons are already members of a family that is homeless, and those households could also benefit from the shelter of a house and the support of the family that already lives there. So, in simple terms, the Share a Roof program is designed to enlist selected, single-family homeowners to open their home to an individual or small families who are homeless, temporarily making them part of an amalgamated family unit. This initiative would provide the homeless with the shelter of a roof and the spirit and guidance of those who already live under it. The goal would be to enable these new residents to gain new values and independence over a period of 18 months. In that interim time period, the enacted bill will also provide for the acquisition or construction of housing for presently homeless souls who, thanks to the Share a Roof program, will have become reinvigorated, reemployed, and ready for housing of their own. But we'll talk about the part of this bill that involves the construction of new housing in another fireside chat. Needless to say, it involves more details than we have time to cover today.
This plan offers wonderful images of security, opportunity, and togetherness. But the big question for my hard drive is, who is going to provide all of the houses that are needed for sharing?
About 70 million of the 80 million owner-occupied housing units in the United States today are single-family. So only 0.8% of owners of houses and condominiums would have to participate in this program to make it work. Shelter, food, transportation coordination, and progress monitoring will be the responsibility of the inviting family, as will coordinating the support of several existing and new government agencies that will be mobilized to focus on the Share a Roof program. In other respects, the existing members of these single-family owner-occupied housing units will be expected to carry on as usual, while also extending the material and emotional support necessary to allow for a productive and family-like assimilation of their new residents. Invitees from the community of homeless will be expected to maintain proper health and sanitary habits, assist in traditional family routines, to pursue employment and educational opportunities, and participate willingly in the everyday chores necessary to sustain a family unit. We believe that both parts of this kind of amalgamated family unit will learn a great deal about life, enjoy new experiences, and achieve a unique and enduring satisfaction, not to mention economic advancement.
Here's where I have some difficulty. How are you going to get homeless people and homeowners to come together and make this vision of sharing a roof a reality?
I don't underestimate the scope of this proposed project, but there is precedent. Boarding houses were commonplace in this country during the first half of the 19th century, especially during the Great Depression and after World War II when housing was scarce. Homeowners would rent out a room or more, often including one or more meals and cleaning and laundry services, to strangers who needed housing for weeks, months, or years. In many instances, those lodgers became part of the family, sharing in meals and other activities. Indeed, a century ago, 40% of the population of Boston, Massachusetts, were living in such rooming houses.
But that was then, and this is now. In today's society, how are you going to bring together parties with such different social, cultural, and economic circumstances?
We envision social and government agencies, along with proven counselors and activists, reaching out and explaining to the homeless the many short and long-term benefits that can accrue to them because of participation. All of the resources of our public and participating private agencies will be available to them, as well as a weekly cash stipend for personal expenses. Now, we understand that most homeowners will be reluctant to make such a sacrifice and commitment. So the government will proactively reach out like it has in other periods of national crisis through a selective service initiative. Homeowners and family members will be literally drafted into this program after they have been selected by a detailed and objective analysis of their life patterns. Thanks to public records on all levels of government, to social media and commercial, financial, and health databases, along with cloud-stored data, the federal government has been able to define the critical dimensions and lifeways of all families in the United States for quite some time. We know which households could do the best job and get appropriate satisfaction from sharing their roofs. Our effort to eradicate homelessness is a war, and our nation needs, wants, the best army of citizens to help it win. As in the recruiting posters of World War II, Uncle Sam is saying once again, I want you.
It appears that you are imposing heavy responsibilities on those independent homeowners you are drafting. Just how will you elicit their best efforts? And for how long will they be obligated to serve? Frankly, it sounds like imposed socialism.
The Share a Roof program envisions offering our drafted volunteers an enriching and rewarding experience that we guarantee will enhance their futures immeasurably. The great American writer Robert Greene Ingersoll once observed, "We rise by lifting others." There is also a financial reward. Households inviting new members will receive a tax-free cash stipend of $35,000 to $52,000 for 18 months of service. Those households hosting a family of up to five members will receive $80,000 to $120,000. There is an additional tax benefit also. The introduction of this program will coincide with a new annual tax levy, hopefully temporary, on existing single-family homeowners. It will not apply to owners who are sharing their roofs. This tax will be 1% on the greater of assessed or market value of a residence. The exemption will be granted to participants for as long as they own their homes. The revenues generated by this tax will be dedicated to implementing this program, rewarding participating homeowners, and supporting the external state and federal agencies, health organizations, educational institutions, and guidance providers that provide support services to the participating families. Funds will also be used to launch the Housing Construction Initiative that I mentioned earlier. These incentives should encourage effective participation. Homeless participants would receive the normal health and welfare benefits they are currently entitled to under existing government assistance programs.
This sounds like you are counting on greediness to overcome the resistance of traditionally independent people. How will you overcome possible pushback from homeowners?
Hopefully, those who are drafted will appreciate that their participation will help less fortunate citizens to achieve a better, more secure, and satisfying future in which they will be able to live and prosper on their own and, in turn, contribute in their own right to a better life for all Americans. But in any event, know that your government is strong and relentless when it comes to pursuing a common good. It extinguished slavery, successfully overcame pushback to prohibition during the 1920s, and quashed resistance to the draft during the Vietnam War. We have a compassionate government that will act strongly and, if necessary, aggressively to bring about social justice, economic equality, and enhanced living standards for all. In this scenario, reluctant homeowners would constitute a special interest group which would have an agenda not in keeping with our national priorities and would have to be dealt with as such. I have come to believe that if we follow a shared conscience, we can be creating shared roofs very quickly. As a side note, the last draft in this country saw many potential draftees relocating to Canada. Moving an entire house is another matter entirely.
What about the interests of our taxpayers? In my opinion, they were overburdened already. How much will all of this cost?
We estimate that this program would cost $28 billion in this fiscal year, plus the $3 billion that the government currently spends on fighting homelessness. The normal government health and welfare benefits that a homeless, unemployed person is entitled to would also be the responsibility of the government, and that authorization and related line items are already included in the government budget. A one-time, hopefully temporary, 1% tax on owner-occupied single-family housing would bring in more than enough to carry this program for 3 years. By that time, our current cadre of homeless would be productive and independent members of society who are living under their own roof.
I think that you are bargaining for more than you can peacefully and financially achieve. I see such a radical program achieving less and costing more than you anticipate. I believe the cost to this nation would be not only in dollars but also in diminished democracy. But what do I know? I'm only a muse.
I believe in this program, and I trust that other Americans will also. It will demonstrate what a society can accomplish if its citizens join together, make sacrifices, and collaborate to contribute to the common weal as defined by a society of equals.
Mr. President, I am concerned. What if many in our free society ultimately disagree?
Well, I'm open to a different approach. We've examined many alternatives, and this was the most practical and cost-effective one we were able to conceive. This is a complex problem, an expensive problem, and it's going to require a complex and, unfortunately, costly solution.
Thank you, sir, for your insights and information. I remind our listeners that you are listening to this chat months, if not years, before it will be broadcast as reality. What our citizens, including you, do or don't do from today forward will ultimately determine whether what you have just heard becomes fact or fiction.
To learn more about these fireside chats and to sign up for free email delivery of new episodes as soon as they become available, go to brainfoodtogo.com/chats. These chats are also available at popular internet podcast platforms including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Overcast, and Radio Public. This podcast was written, produced, and copyrighted by Electromedia Technologies, LLC.